Brief biographical notes. Hamiduddin Al-Farahi. This note has been expanded from Dr. Mustansir Mir's PhD thesis, Coherence in the Quran. Al-Farahi was born in 1863 in Piriha, hence the name Farahi, a small village in Azamgarh district, Uttar Pradesh, India. He was a cousin of the famous theologian historian Shibli Nomani, from whom he learnt Arabic. He studied Arabic literature with Faisal Hassan Saharanpuri, who was considered a master in this field at that time. At the age of 21, he took admission in the Aligarh Muslim College to study modern disciplines of knowledge. Here he also learned Hebrew from the German Orientalist Joseph Horowitz. After his graduation from the Allahabad University, he taught at various institutions, including Aligarh and Darul Uloom Hyderabad. Whilst teaching at Darul Uloom Hyderabad, Al-Farahi proposed the setting up of a university where all religious and modern sciences would be taught in Urdu. Later in 1919, his vision materialized in the form of Jamia Uthmaniya Hyderabad. In 1925, he returned to his hometown Azamgarh and took charge of the Madrasatul Islah. Here, besides managing the affairs of the madrasa, Al-Farahi devoted most of his time in training a few students. Among them was Amin Ehsan Islahi, who was destined to become the greatest exponent of his thought after him. Farahi died on 11th November 1930 in Mithra, where he had gone for treatment. For almost 50 years, Farahi reflected over the Quran, which remained his chief interest and the focal point of all his teachings. His greatest contribution is to redirect the attention of Muslim scholars to the Quran as the basis and ultimate authority in all matters of religion. He stressed that the Quran should be practically regarded as the mizan, or the scale that weighs the truth, and the furqan, or the distinguisher between good and evil, a status which it invests on itself. Thus, ahadith cannot change or modify the Quran in any way. They should be interpreted in the light shed by this divine book, and not vice versa. It was as a result of this status of the Quran that he insisted on the universality of the Quranic text and rejected that variant readings be regarded as the Quran per se. It was his deep deliberation on the Quran that led him to unfold its nazm or coherence in a unique way by taking into consideration the three constituents of nazm, which are order or tartib, proportion or tanasub, and unity or wahdaniya. He proved that a single interpretation of the Quran was possible. This alone was a far-reaching consequence of the principle of Quranic nazm. Serious differences in the interpretation of the Quran have given rise to the menace of religious sectarianism are actually the result of disregarding thematic and structural coherence in the arrangement and mutual relationship of various Quranic verses and paragraphs. Each sect has adopted its interpretation because isolating a verse from its context can associate multiple meanings to it. It is only the coherence of the Quran which, if considered, leads to a definite and integrated understanding of the divine message. Farahi also made another significant contribution by rewriting and reconstructing most sub-disciplines of the Arabic language needed to study the Quran. Almost all of Farahi's works are in Arabic. Except for a few, most of them are in the form of notes and unfinished books. He could only complete a few of them. Foremost among them is a collection of his interpretation of 14 surahs of the Quran by the name Majmu'a Tafasir Farahi. In his Mufradat al-Quran, he explained some difficult words and constructions of the Quran. He elucidated the nature of oaths and adjurations in the Quran in his book entitled Al-Imran fi Aqsam al-Quran. In his book Ar-Rai al-Sahih fi Man Huwa al-Zabih, he elaborated upon the philosophy of sacrifice and by furnishing evidences from the Quran and the Torah, convincingly refuted the claim of the Jews that it was Isaac and not Ishmael whom Abraham had intended to sacrifice. He relayed the principles of rhetoric needed to study the Quran in Jamratul Balagha and outlined some special Quranic styles and constructions in Asalibul Quran. The arguments he presented to verify the principle of coherence are soundly enlisted in Dalailun Nizam. His complete mastery of Arabic and Persian can be seen from his poetical works in both these languages. Besides these scholarly dissertations, there are at least 20 other unfinished works which need to be completed and developed further. www.hamid-uddin-farahi.org is a resource site on his life and works. Amin Ehsan Islahi. Amin Ehsan Islahi was born in 1904 at Bhambhor, a small village in Azamgarh, India. He passed out from the Madrasatul Islah around 1922. The teacher which influenced him the most during his student life at the madrasa was Abdul Rahman Nigrami, himself a versatile genius. Nigrami's attention helped him in developing a profound inclination towards Arabic literature. After graduating from the madrasa, he entered the field of journalism. For a while, he edited a newspaper in Medina at Bijnor and also remained associated with Sach, a newspaper edited by the luminary Abdul Majid Daryabadi. From 1925 to 1930, he remained with Farahi like his shadow. It was in this forming period of his life in which he developed a deep understanding of the Quran and learned from Farahi the principles of direct deliberation on the Book of God. After Farahi's death, Islahi studied Hadith with the celebrated scholar of this discipline, Abdul Rahman Muhaddis Mubarakpuri. In 1936, Islahi founded the Dara-e Hamidiyya, a small institute to disseminate the Quranic thought of Farahi. Under the auspices of this institute, he brought out a monthly journal, Al-Islah, in which he translated many portions of Farahi's treatises written in Arabic. Islahi was among the founder members of the Jamaat-e-Islami, a religious party founded by the eminent Islamic scholar Abul Ala Maududi in 1941. In 1958, he abandoned the Jamaat after serious differences arose between him and Maududi on the nature of the constitution of the Jamaat. After leaving the Jamaat, he finally got the chance to fulfill his cherished goal of writing a commentary on the Quran. He also launched a monthly journal, Mithaq, in which portions of this commentary, called Tadabbur-e-Quran, were published. In 1961, he established a small study circle called Halqa-e Tadabbur-e-Quran for college students to whom he taught Arabic language and literature, the Holy Quran, and the Jami'us Sahih of Imam Muslim. He also taught Shah Waliullah's Hujjatullah al-Baligha and Ibn Khuldun's Muqaddimah to some pupils. It was on the 29th of Ramadan, 1400 or 12th August 1980, when the great day arrived, the day when a monumental effort reached its culmination. The Tadabbur-e-Quran had taken 22 long years to complete. In the Tadabbur-e-Quran, he produced a masterpiece of tafsir, which does not simply reflect the principles of his illustrious mentor Farahi, it also bears the stamp of originality. It is indeed a unique work that has ushered in a new era in the field of scriptural interpretation. Islahi proved from a Quranic verse that the Almighty has divided the Quran in seven discrete groups, keeping in view the preaching mission of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Each of these groups has a theme, and surahs are arranged in a group keeping in view this theme. Within a group, the surahs themselves generally occur in pairs with regard to the subject discussed in them. Each surah also has a specific theme, which is the most comprehensive statement of its contents. In 1981, Islahi founded the Idara-e Tadabbur-e-Quran o Hadith, which remained until his death, that is 15 December 1997, the center of his intellectual activities. A quarterly journal, Tadabbur, was taken out in 1981 as its organ. He gave weekly lectures on the text of the Quran. Later, he took up deep study on the principles of Hadith and began teaching the Muwatta of Imam Malik in weekly sittings to a close circle of students and associates. After completing the Muwatta, he also taught some portions of Imam Bukhari's Al-Jami'us Sahih. Besides the Tadabbur-e-Quran, Amin Ehsan Islahi authored a number of books in Urdu on various topics of Islam. They include Tazkiyah-e-Nafs, or Purification of the Soul, Haqeeqat-e-Shirk-o-Tawheed, or The Essence of Polytheism and Monotheism, دعوت دین اور اس کا طریقہ کار اور دی اسلامک میسج اینڈ دا موڈ آف اٹس پریچنگ اسلامی ریاست اور دی اسلامک اسٹیٹ مبادی تدبر قرآن اور دا پرنسپلز آف انڈرسٹینڈنگ دا قرآن مبادی تدبر حدیث اور دا پرنسپلز آف انڈرسٹینڈنگ دا حدیث اسلامی ریاست میں فقہی اختلافات کا حل اور سولوشن آف جورسٹک ڈفرینسز ان این اسلامک اسٹیٹ اینڈ اسلامی قانون کی تدوین اور کوڈیفیکیشن آف دی اسلامک لا اصلاحی آلسو ٹرانسلیٹڈ فرائی ہز کامنٹری کنسسٹنگ آف 14 سورہ آف دا قرآن ایز ویل ایز ہز فالوئنگ بکس فرام عربک فی من ہو واز ذبیح اور وچ آف ابراہیمز سن واز سیکریفائسڈ اینڈ اقسام القرآن اور اوتھس آف دا قرآن www.amin-ahsan-islahi.com is a resource site on his life and works. Javed Ahmed Ghamidi. Javed Ahmed Ghamidi was born in 1951 in a village of Sahiwal, a district of the Punjab province of Pakistan. After matriculating from a local school, he came to Lahore in 1967. He did his BA Honours Part 1 in English Literature from the Government College Lahore in 1972 and studied Islamic disciplines in the traditional manner from various teachers and scholars throughout his early years. In 1973, he came under the tutelage of Amin Ehsan Islahi, who was destined to have a deep impact on him. He was also associated with the famous scholar and revivalist Abul Ala Maududi for several years. He taught Islamic studies at the Civil Service Academy for more than a decade from 1979 to 1991. Ghamidi has written and lectured widely on the Quran, Islamic law, and various aspects of Islam. He is the founder president of Al-Mawrid, a foundation for Islamic research and education, and is the chief editor of the Urdu monthly Ishraq and the English monthly Renaissance. He is also the founder of the Musa Public School. He appears regularly on various TV channels to discuss Islam and some contemporary issues as a part of his campaign to educate people about Islam. His talks and lectures can be accessed online from www.tv-almawrid.org. Ghamidi has drawn heavily from the Quranic thought of his two illustrious predecessors, Hamiduddin Farahi and Amin Ehsan Islahi, presenting many of their views in a more precise manner. However, many of his contributions to the Islamic thought are original. Both these features can be witnessed in his ongoing annotated translation of the Quran, Al-Bayan. It takes the reader close to the classical Arabic of the Quran, in which ideas are conveyed with brevity and terseness. Words and concepts which are understood are suppressed and left to the perspicacity of the reader. To achieve this brevity, various devices are employed in classical Arabic which are not found in most other languages. Ghamidi has tried to unfold the meaning of the divine message by taking into consideration these devices within the text of the translation. Another original contribution of Ghamidi is his categorization of the contents of religion. According to him, the Quran itself divides the contents of Islam in two categories, Al-Hikmah and Al-Sharia. Whilst the former refers to topics related to the philosophy of religion, the latter to those that relate to law. Ghamidi further classifies these two categories into subcategories. Al-Hikmah comprises two subcategories, faith and ethics, and Al-Sharia comprises 10 subcategories. And they are the Sharia of worship rituals, the social Sharia, the political Sharia, the economic Sharia, the Sharia of preaching, the Sharia of Jihad, the Penal Sharia, the Dietary Sharia, Islamic Customs and Etiquette, Oaths and Their Atonement. In each of these categories, Ghamidi has made unique contributions in interpreting the directives of the Quran. Examples include his views on the specific nature of the preaching mission of Abraham's progeny, the punishment of apostasy, the testimony and diyat of women, the etiquette of gender interaction, slavery in Islam, the requisites of citizenship, inheritance laws, and the general and specific directives of jihad. Ghamidi has also contributed to the science of hermeneutics. He has enunciated foundational principles of understanding Islam in his essay Asool-o-Mabadi, or Fundamental Principles. These principles take into account the specific nature of the texts of the Quran and Hadith. One distinctive feature of the approach that pervades these principles is what can be summed up in the form of a dictum, and that is, the Hadith should be interpreted in the light shed by the Quran and not vice versa. An important contribution of Ghamidi is the distinction he has made between Sharia and Fiqh. They are generally rather loosely regarded as synonyms. Whilst the former is divine, the latter is a human endeavor, and thus the two must be distinguished from one another. In his seminal work on Islam, Mizan, Ghamidi has attempted to decipher the Sharia from the sources of Islam. Another prominent contribution of Ghamidi is his concept and definition of the word Sunnah. Whilst categorizing it to be distinct from Hadith, he has laid down certain principles to precisely determine its corpus. By applying these principles, he has actually come up with a list of contents of the Sunnah. Ghamidi has also presented an integrated framework of the concepts and terms of Islam in his essay Deen-e-Haq, or The True Religion. This framework in itself is a representative of a complete interpretation of Islam in contrast with the two other prevailing interpretations of Islam in the Muslim Ummah, which are the Tasawwuf-based interpretation and the Jihad-based interpretation. Burhan and Maqamat are two of Ghamidi's other books. The former is a treatise in which contemporary religious thoughts have been critically analyzed, while the latter is a collection of his religious and literary essays. www.javedahmadghamidi.com is a resource site on his life and works.